Three, two, one. And welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. I'm Tom Bump, and today it's just me. Wanted to do this episode for a while, but also had some amazing guests, and I hope you've been enjoying the KMC podcast during these times. There's no doubt we're living in unprecedented days, and I hate using that word unprecedented, but that's where we are right now. The podcast today, I want to talk about what comes out of crisis. When we are in these kind of modes, the one thing I've noticed when ministry happens is that we respond or we react really, really well. And I am so excited about how the church, the body of Christ, has pivoted so quickly. But like I said, there's no doubt we're in uncharted waters here. Our entire ministries have gone digital in a matter of really days, where now we're over a month into what we're doing. And I want to know what we're finding. I've been trying to dialogue and engage in several different Facebook groups besides the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group to find out how ministry leaders are coping, what they're doing, what's working, what's not working. And I think we're learning a lot of great things, but we're also finding out that online ministry is hard. It's not the ideal. It does lack some of the personal connections that people need and that we need as even leaders. But we're also finding out that more people are hearing the gospel. More people are engaging with families and with friends. More people are inviting their friends to church than ever before. There are people that are checking out. Feeds are filled with church services streaming. The world is taking notice that the church has come online. And there are a lot of seekers out there looking and investigating. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting and looking for hope. We're finding that kid ministry leaders, like I said, pivot quickly and pivot with everything they have. And again, I'm so proud of the kid ministry community, the student ministry community, family ministry communities, coming together, working together, ministry providers, resource providers, working extra hard to create new resources or modifying their current resources so that kid ministry leaders have what they need to get to their families, all because they want to make sure that the children are experiencing teaching on their own level and trying to give them something that feels a little normal in a crazy, abnormal world. I also love what I'm seeing. So many of you are making sure that not only are kids getting teaching on their own level, but you're making sure that kids feel loved and known. I'm watching you send out cards and create Zoom groups and sending out special messages and gift bags and driving by homes. I saw some children's ministry leaders who dressed up in costumes and went and did drive-bys by all of their children's homes and waved at them and told them how much they were missing them and that they were loved. Those are wonderful, wonderful things. And as a pastor, to you as ministers of the gospel, I've got to say, well done. I'm so proud of you for what you're doing. I love hearing how so many churches are now looking at new ways to serve the community, delivering food, providing childcare for hospital workers, providing financial support for those in their community that are hurting, opening up prayer lines and prayer communities on social media channels, making masks and other things that families need, food kits, medical kits, all sorts of wonderful things that churches are doing to make sure that the community is also feeling the love of Christ in all of this. So again, what comes out of crisis? Amazing things come out of crisis because of our hope in Jesus Christ. And even though, as Scripture says, we are being pressed on every side, and sometimes we feel like, wow, this can't get any worse. we have to keep reminding ourselves that when we are pressed on every side, what happens? Our cups, when the scripture says, when we're pressed on every side, our cups can overflow. And I just want to say that as we lean into God in these days, as we lean into the power of the Holy Spirit, remember that our cups are overflowing because of what Jesus has done, because of what we celebrated on Easter. We have that hope. We have that hope like the two men on Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, that walked with Jesus. And after they engaged with him, they said, man, our hearts were burning inside of us. That's the experience we need during this time of crisis. So what comes out of crisis? I want to say some things to you as ministry leaders, as a pastor, and I want to share from my pastor's heart to all of you who are fellow ministers engaged with the gospel. What's important for us in this crisis is, for one, for us to take care of ourselves. I want to make sure that many of you are understanding that you have to take care of yourself first. There's a lot of new leaders in ministry. I noticed a lot of new leaders coming into the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. You're brand new to ministry. And I want to talk to you specifically. If you're new to ministry, less than 5 years, I know you're feeling overwhelmed. I know you're feeling the pressure of, I've got to duplicate what I did on Sundays every week. Plus, I've got to make the curriculum adjusted. Plus, I've got to make videos. Plus, I've got to do Zoom calls. Plus, I've got to have some fun activities for the kids and create resources for the parents. And plus, I've got to do, and plus, I got to do, and plus, breathe. Please take a breath. And please hit the pause button for at least a few minutes. Listen, making videos, hosting Zoom calls, rewriting content, teaching our own kids, caring for our neighbors, preparing meals, we've got all these things on our plate right now. But what one of the things that we've got to remember is that we have to maintain a sustainable pace. We have to make sure that we can sustain what we're doing on a regular basis right now. And I know for many of you, you're feeling like, I can't keep doing this. And what I am fearing the most of on the other side of COVID-19 is how many ministry leaders are going to tap out because of discouragement, because of frustration, and because of pure exhaustion. I'm praying for you, and I want you to know I'm here for you. I want you to know that I'm available if you need someone to lean into. I want to help. I've got a network of leaders who can help. And we want you to know that you're not alone and that you don't have to go through this crisis alone. So I want to share with all of you, regardless of how long you've been in ministry, a couple principles that I truly believe with all my heart you need to make sure you're thinking through. First, share the load. A lot of us have taken a lot more back on ourselves. And sometimes you may be the only one that heads up the children's ministry. You still need to find some way to share the load with other people. You need to reach out for help and ask for help. Again, if you don't have a staff, if you don't have a team to work with, reach out to somebody like me. I'm available. I've got time. I would love to help some more leaders during this time. That's why I opened up more coaching spots, because I've got the time to do it. And I don't care whether you can pay or not. You can pay as you go. You can pay as you have. And if you can't at all, that's fine. But I want to help share the load with you. Maybe you can reach out to other churches in your area and share the load with them. If you've got staff, if you've got a team, reach out to some of these smaller churches and make sure they're doing okay. But we need to reach out to each other and continue to share the load. Continue to use the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group as a place where you can share that load and ask questions and look for resources and encourage each other. Because as we share the load, then we start to lighten that load. So as we consider that, lightening the load, what are some things that you've got to stop just doing? You don't have to do everything. And I'll tell you, there are some pastors out there that are running and gunning, and they're doing stuff all day long and into the night because they've got to edit videos and create videos, and they're doing more curriculum, and they're trying to be more creative. Listen, make sure you're pausing and you're taking care of yourself and that you're lightening that load. You don't have to do everything that everybody else is doing. You don't have to duplicate everything you've done on Sunday. Trust me, families will probably thank you when we stop giving them so much stuff. Parents are overwhelmed, and they're still feeling overwhelmed. In fact, probably the wave is really starting to hit hard now because the economic load is starting to weigh in. The job losses are starting to weigh in. Let's not add to their load by pushing more things at them. Let's talk to them and find out what do they need, and let's help lighten their load too. But lean into each other and help each other. Now, here's another thing. Focus the load. Make sure that what you do really matters and what's important. Some of us are so busy creating the goofiness that we forget what's the main thing that we're supposed to be about. It's about Jesus. It's about making sure the gospel and how children and parents and those that don't know him can come to him and enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. I want to ask you, are you sharing the gospel regularly? Think about it. Are you helping children hear this is how you can start a relationship with Jesus today and giving them those clear, simple steps? If you're not, why not? That's our number one job. It's not to provide entertainment. It's not to provide silly stuff. It's to present Jesus. And then, for those children who know Christ, how are you helping them grow? How are you helping them become disciples that can make disciples? Those are our priorities. Those should be number one on our list. Those should be our number one goal of what's the win. It's to make sure that our children and our families know Jesus and know how to go and make other disciples, period. That's what we're going to be held accountable for the most when we get to heaven. Is did we make disciples? Not did we have fun and engaging programs. Not that we even serve the community well. Now, yes, that's a way to share the gospel in our actions, but we do need to use our words. We do need to invite people to come to Jesus and find that hope. So please focus the load. Make sure that what you do points children to Jesus every week and that parents know how to do it. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But also, don't take the load that doesn't belong to you. Sometimes we take on the load because we see other churches doing things and we think, oh, I've got to be doing that too. No, you don't have to compare yourself and do what everybody else is doing. You may see a children's pastor that's got a big following on Facebook and think, oh, well, look what all they're doing. I've got to duplicate that. Or, oh, hey, they're telling me I got to use this resource or that resource or do this or that. Listen, don't take the load that doesn't belong to you. Ask God what you need to do and then do it. That's what you need to do. That's your load to carry. So, our job is to help equip the saints to do the work of the ministry as well. So are we helping people to do the job of sharing Jesus and make disciples? Are we equipping our team? Are we giving our leaders opportunities to do that? Are we showing them how they can manage to do that in their new normal? There are ways to do that. And if you're stuck, reach out. I've got some ideas that I would love to help you with. We need to also prepare for the future, prepare this load for the future. What's it going to look like when we get to the other side of this? And for the time being, you know, things aren't going to probably be the way they used to be. We're still probably going to have some limitations and some requirements on what we can and what we can't do. And so we need to start thinking and dreaming about the other side of all of this. We need to start planning for what that looks like when stay-at-home orders are starting to be lifted. What will ministry look like? Now, let me talk about summertime because that's been a hot topic on a number of Facebook groups. What are we going to do with vacation Bible schools? What are we going to do with summer if camps are canceled? And people are panicking a little bit, not a lot, a lot of you have an idea of how you could make your VBS program work, and that's great. But listen, even if you can't have to cancel it, that's not the end of the world. But if you can and you can pivot and try to do something different, please don't bury the parents. Don't put this whole load and come up with all this great concept and throw it all on mom and dad. Yes. Do I believe parents are the primary faith givers? Absolutely. But I also believe we're a community. Deuteronomy 6 was not written just to parents. Don't make that mistake. Moses was talking to a whole community, all of the Israelites. And yes, he focused in more on this. And you may want to argue with this, and that's okay. I'm willing to listen, and maybe I could be proven wrong. But I really feel strongly that this was written to the community of faith, and that, yes, parents were focused and dads were focused to say, hey, this is what we want you to do. But that doesn't mean that we dump everything on moms and dads. So don't expect mom and dad to do your vacation Bible school plan. That's not going to happen. They're not going to do it. I can guarantee you they're not going to do it. Not in the traditional sense. So listen, don't dump on them. Partner with them. Talk to them about ways that you could do this. Engage some conversations. Invite them to talk to you, maybe on a Zoom meeting, and think about it and brainstorm together what it would look like. Maybe take what you would do in a week and break it down on 4 Sundays or 4 Mondays or 4 Tuesdays or 4 Saturdays and work together with parents and provide some things, both online and offline content, that you could do together that would be very simple, that wouldn't take parents much prep. Because again, they don't need to go out and buy all the resources. And maybe your church, because of spending freezes, won't be able to provide everything that you normally would. So you're going to have to think that through and pray that through. But you know what? There are lots of simple options. There's a lot of basic options that will feel a little old school. But let me tell you, there'll be brand new techniques. There'll be things that people haven't seen in a long, long time. Maybe consider doing a backyard VBS. Recruit your student ministry to come join with you and partner together and do 5 days in backyards. Do a one-hour party club in the backyard. If you're not sure what these look like, you can check if you have a Child Evangelism Fellowship office near you. They have tons of resources to help you pull off what's called a 5-day club. If you're not sure, contact me. I used to work with CEF. I was a local director and a trainer for them, developed several programs for them. I've trained all my student ministries of when the churches where I was both the youth pastor and the children's pastor, and they were the best missions trips we've ever done. It's amazing what happens and how hearts change when you become a home missionary and the people you're reaching are your own community. So there are plenty of options for you that you could do. Maybe you bring everybody to a park when you have to set up a big sound system and you keep people spread out, but you can do things together. So they're together, but yet they're separated safely. There are also things I think that we need to think about moving forward, about less thinking about big events and drop-off events and more family together time, more family-focused ideas, where moms and dads are the heroes and simply teaching the gospel and teaching the basic habits of spiritual disciplines for their children. More focus could be put on teaching parents how to lead their children to Christ and how to teach those spiritual disciplines because they probably have never been taught to the parents. And now they're starting to understand, okay, we need to make this part of our family rhythm. We've enjoyed these times on Sundays and Saturdays worshiping together as a family in our living rooms. So now maybe there's more families that are open to the idea of doing something, and we need to provide them a unique resource and a unique system that will help them make it simple. Because I'll already tell you, I think more families are going to choose to simplify their lives. And the warning I give to all of us, let's not fill up their calendar for them. Let's not try to fill up what they just got rid of. That would be wrong. I also think church staffs need to have a conversation about how they can make these weekend service environments more family friendly. yes, I know we're providing kids stuff and they're having adult stuff, but a lot of families are watching together. So maybe we need to encourage and challenge our senior pastors to engage the family in what they're doing. Maybe in some of these videos and some of these things, we need to see students and children up on the stages in the worship. Maybe one of the songs needs to be more student-focused or children-focused and not just all adult. I think churches need to start considering these options and thinking about ways to do that. And we may need to find ways to help equip senior pastors, because I will tell you, it's not being taught in seminary. So think about how you can lovingly encourage your senior pastor. Now, I want to spend these last couple of minutes just talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ, my fellow laborers of the gospel. I want you to ask yourself a couple questions. What's coming out of this for you? What are you seeing in your own life, in your own ministry, in your own leadership? What's coming out in you? Are you seeing gaps? Are you seeing places where you haven't led well, or you need to lead better? Or maybe you've gone so far that you're like, whoa, how am I going to stop doing this and continue doing other things? Some of you are just going so crazy wild with things. You're amazing. But at some point, you're going to have to pull back. And what is that going to look like? I also want to know how your spiritual disciplines are. How is your time in the Word? How is your time in prayer? Are you taking Sabbath rest? Are you making time to stop and listen? The other day, I did a shut up and listen day, and I'm making this part of my new spiritual discipline where I am taking time, and it's like 30 minutes once a week where I'm opening up my Bible. I'm putting on instrumental worship music. I don't want any words. I sit down in my office. It's quiet. It's a little dark. I've got just enough light to read my Bible. I have my journal open, and I sit and I read scripture, and then I just say, okay, God, I'm here. Speak. I'm listening. And I just try to focus in on Him. I spend time not talking at Him, but listening, reading His words and listening to what He says and asking, how does this fill my soul? How does this point me to Him? What do I need to learn? And I ask God to just speak into my heart. And these times have become so precious to me that there's no doubt I'm keeping my shut up and listen day on my calendar. I want to ask you, how's your pace? Meaning, are you running a sustainable pace? Are you doing a sustainable job? Are you able to keep things going when, quote unquote, we go back to normal? I want to ask you, how are you connecting? Who have you connected with? Do you have some leaders in your life that can help walk with you? If you don't, dig deeper into this community. Reach out to me. I would be glad to connect you with other leaders who can meet with you and pray with you online. And again, I'm happy to do that, but I would love to connect you in with other people. But that's what the KMC community is all about. Please, if you need help, reach out. Say, hey, I want to connect. And are there some leaders that live in my area? I'm sure you'll get some responses back and develop some friendships there. But you need to be connected in this time. I want to ask, what are you learning about your God and your relationship with Him? Where are you seeing Him work in your life, in your family, in your ministry? I want to ask, where do you need to grow? What skills do you need to develop? Now, a lot of you have said, hey, I have learned more about video editing and Zoom than I ever cared to know. Well, hey, that's great. Congratulations, you've learned some new skills. But maybe what are some other skills that you need to develop and encourage growth in? What are some things that you need to add to your to-don't list? That list that means I have to stop doing this. Because coming back out of this, there are things that we've been doing for years that we have needed to stop, and now's the time to do it. I'm also going to ask, where do you need to add some people to help lighten that load and share that load? Maybe there's some things you've added to your plate that you could have leaned into somebody else's skill set and let them use their gifts and talents for the glory of God. And last, I want to leave you with this. What are you dreaming of? What are you dreaming of? Proverbs tells us that we need to be dreaming and we need to have hope. Scripture says in Proverbs 13, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. If we don't dream, or if we think those dreams will never, ever come true, we lose hope in those dreams. And I'm just wondering, have you lost hope? Are you discouraged? Are you like, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to leave ministry. I'm out. I want to tap out. It's because you've lost your hope. You've lost your dreams. Again, I want to encourage you, if that's you, please reach out to me. I've been where you are. I've been in places where I have lost my hope. I've lost my passion. I've lost my joy. I wondered why I was doing what I was doing. But I kept doing it because I wanted the kids to know that I loved them and I cared about them. But that was making my heart sick because I was deferring the hope that I had. I want to tell you, if you've been there, please, again, reach out to me. I would love to spend some time talking with you and take you on a little journey and walk a path with you that I know that I did with my coaches and counselors that now I'm starting to implement and create a plan that I can help you with. But anyway, Proverbs says that we have to keep that dream alive, because that's the tree of life. That's what springs into us. That's what brings growth and fruit. But here's the other thing. The old King James, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. If we don't keep dreaming, if we don't keep thinking of ways that we can share Jesus and disciple others to make disciples, people are going to perish without him. And that's worse than catching the coronavirus. That's dying from the virus, but it's the sin virus. That's the one that's truly eternally fatal. And that's our role, is to make sure that we have the vaccine. We have the answer. We have to share that. And so it takes us to say, God, give me that dream that you have to reach my community, and let that be my dream. I want to know your dreams, God, and I want to dream them myself so that I can go and make that happen, because I want to reach people with the gospel. Well, my friends, that's it. Those are the thoughts that I have on my heart. What comes out in a crisis? Amazing, amazing things. If I can be of service to you, please reach out. Head over to kmccoach.net. You can fill out a time there. I've got slots there. That there's a thing that you can, a calendar you can click on that will help you set up a 30-minute phone call. And sometimes these go way longer than 30 minutes, and that's okay. I'm here to serve you and help you. So if you need some coaching, you need some mentoring, if you're just starting out in ministry, please reach out. I would love to have you join in a mentorship program with me and walk through. I've got some spots that I would love to fill, and I would be happy to do that with you. If you need connection, reach out into the community, into the group, and say, hey, I want some support. I want some encouragement. I need to help brainstorm. Join in our Zoominars that are coming up. We've got some good ones that are going to be coming up. We've got some fun things that'll be happening. We even got a brand new feature that I cannot wait. Just be watching the Facebook group. You're gonna love what we're gonna have some fun. So God bless you. Thanks for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that if you've subscribed, you'd leave us a review so that more people could hear about it. Share this podcast with others. Let them know that, hey, during the quarantine, this is a great one to listen to. And there's a lot of other great kid ministry podcasts out there, but hey, I'm biased. I love what I do, and I love you all. So God bless you. Thanks for listening. To join me again for another KMC podcast, Kid Ministry Collective podcast, real soon.